Coming to you from the Deep South, this is the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast. High impact leadership is not reserved for leaders, and it has nothing to do with your position, title, or rank. However, it does have everything to do with your character. It's time to climb to the next level and beyond, personally and professionally. Now, let's start making it happen with your host, Max Story.
Before we get started with today's episode, I want to take a few moments and give you a preview of what you're about to hear and also direct you to some other series that I already have completed on my podcast. So you're about to listen to Blue Collar Kaizen Leading Lean and Lean Teams. You're listening to a 30-part series on that. Today's episode is just one of 30. It's specific to lean leaders, lean managers, anyone who's leading teams of people through process improvement and continuous improvement projects, Six Sigma, those kind of things. It's not about the tools and the methods and all that. It's about how to lead teams of people. So any leader, anybody at any level can get value from this. But I just want you to know that's what this series is about. It's about that specific book. So hope you enjoy it. But I have some other series that may interest you if this series does not. Got a lot of episodes already out there, but I have a book called Blue Collar Leadership, Leading from the Front Lines. It's all about how to become a high impact individual, how to become a sought after employee of choice, an employee that people want to hire and want to promote. That series, there's a 30-part series, starts at episode 65. I have another series on my book, Blue Collar Leadership and Supervision, Unleash Your Team's Potential. That book is for leaders, formal authority leaders who want to learn how to effectively lead people. That series, 30-part series, starts at episode 111. I have another series. It's an 11-part series on my book, 10 Foundational Elements of Intentional Transformation, How to Become Your Best Self. That series starts at episode 158. I have another series on my Blue Collar Leadership and Culture, the 5 Components for Building High Performance Teams. That book is really for the top leader, and it's how do you become the sought-after employer of choice. It's a 30-part series. It begins at episode 179. My wife Rhea and I, this year in 2021, the theme for my podcast this year was all about change. That's why I'm doing this series on Blue Collar Kaizen, Leading Lean and Lean Teams, because it's all about leading teams through change. But we have a 15-part series we recorded together on our book, Change Happens, Leading Yourself and Others Through Change. That series starts at episode 211. And then this Blue Collar Kaizen, Leading Lean and Lean Teams series, the one you're about to listen to, one of the episodes, it started at episode 230. And will be a 30-part series, so it's going to take a little while to finish it. Hope you find value in some of these series. Let's get to today's podcast. Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast today. Today, I'm going to talk to you about Chapter 22 of 30 in my book, Blue Collar Kaizen, Leading Lean and Lean Teams. So chapter 22 is titled High Impact Delegation. And the subtitle is Delegate Results, Not Methods. Delegate Results, Not Methods. So I want to go ahead and share the opening quote with you today. And that quote is from Mark Miller. If you don't know who Mark Miller is, he's actually been with Chick-fil-A 30 plus years. He's the basically the VP of leadership development, that sort of thing at Chick-fil-A. But he had this to say. He says, the more decisions a leader makes, the further he or she is from leading a high-performance team. Make too many command decisions, and you'll doom yourself and your team to mediocrity. You might want to hit rewind on that one and listen to that one again. That was pretty powerful. But I want to share a story with you. Rhea and I share it. It's much more entertaining if you actually see us on the stage somewhere live and we share it together. But it's a story we share. We teach a lot of different lessons from this story. But today I'm going to share with you the lesson specifically related to this chapter. And that is one of the lessons that's a big takeaway whenever we do speak around the country on this. But Rhea's always, whenever we open this up, she talks about it's the greatest challenge we ever had to our marriage. And we'll be celebrating 20 years of marriage on October 27th of this year. So we've been making it happen for a while. But this episode happened a few years back, and it was supposed to be a fun time. We were actually whitewater rafting, and we had went rafting on a took a weekend and went rafting up in North Georgia. First day we went down a small river. I just call it like a creek or something. I mean, it was pretty laid back, and to me it was actually pretty boring. I mean, it was almost like glass going down this little creek. It was nice to be out in nature and that sort of thing, but I wanted a little bit of excitement, entertainment. So a little bit more of a challenge. So the next day we went up to the river in North Carolina called the Nantahala River. And you may have heard that if you're from the area or you vacation to the area. But it's much, much more of like a whitewater type river. Not super crazy rapids, but I think at the end there's one, the last rapid is a level 3 or class 3 rapid. And the rest of the river is mainly made up with class 1 and 2. So it's a pretty bumpy ride down through there. A lot of white water, a lot of waves, a lot of action. And we were going down through there, and it was ugly. I mean, it was fine, you know, when we floated down the little creek that was flat. But when we got into the river, it was ugly. And, you know, Rhea always says I wanted to get in the back, meaning me, because I wanted to drive. And so we did, or I did. I got in the back of the kayak. We actually went down the river in a 2-person kayak. But down at the end where that class 3 rapid is, there's actually some bleachers along the side where people actually sit and watch the rafters come through. And a lot of them are big, you know, 6 or 8-person rafts. And even those big rafts turn over at the end. So a lot of people sit there and watch, you know, a lot of the small kayaks, 2-person kayaks, individual kayaks, a lot of them doing the same thing. They go through there and they get flipped over and dumped out and that sort of thing. And I didn't want to be the cheap entertainment for those folks at the end. So as we get going, I said, I want to get in the back. I want to drive. So they gave me a single bladed oar paddle, and Rhea was in the front and she had the double bladed oar or paddle, whatever you want to call it, that you see most kayakers with. And I still don't understand why I only had a single bladed oar, but I'm no expert. We'd never done that together before, but it seemed like it'd be a lot easier if I had a blade on each end of the stick instead of just one end. But anyway, we get going down through there and it's not working too good. We spin it around. We ain't going. I'm trying to tell Rhea everything to do and it's not working out right. And I'll say one thing, she does another thing, or I say one thing, and by the time she does it, she should be doing something different, and I'm trying to explain to her what to do. So basically, it was ugly the whole way. And I'm just back there trying to stay married. So I'm not trying to blow up. I'm not trying to raise my voice. I'm not trying to get ugly. But my end of the boat was getting pretty heated up back there, but she looked like she was on vacation. And we were on vacation, but she looked like it. And I looked like if you ever seen that old cartoon, the Tasmanian devil, where you're spinning around, looks like a little tornado, dust flying everywhere. That's kind of the way I looked in the back of that kayak, except there was a lot of water flying everywhere. Me trying to switch sides with that single bladed paddle and get us in the right spot at the right time, even though I'm constantly giving her directions. It was ugly. I'm just telling you, it was ugly. And eventually, you know, I'm asking myself what I teach you guys about all the time. How is this my fault? How am I responsible for this? I tell her to paddle on the right. She paddles on the left. How is that my fault? And, you know, I'm telling her exactly what to do and when to do it. And things are not working out. So I'm back there literally doing what I ask you guys to do all the time. Take responsibility. Be the leader. So I'm asking myself, what am I missing? I know I'm responsible, but what am I missing? And I'm asking the universe, God, if you're a person of faith, Aquaman, if he was swimming around close by, anybody, anywhere, help me. And it took me a little bit, but pretty quick, I got the help I needed. It was my subconscious delivering the nugget that I had actually learned and had applied a lot of times, but I hadn't applied it yet that day, which is why I was getting it wrong so bad. I was getting it ugly wrong. But it actually comes from that 1 hour audio I told you guys about a little while back in this series from Dr. Covey. I taught you one of the principles I got from him on that 1 hour audio was, within 24 to 48 hours, if you want to teach this content, if you want to learn this content, you got to teach it to someone else. So a little later into that audio, I learned what I'm about to tell you. And I was able to, because I had learned it and applied it, I was able to recall it. Finally, it took me a while, but I was able to recall it and my subconscious delivered it to me. And I could hear Dr. Covey that day in that river. I could hear Dr. Covey like he was sitting on my shoulder telling me what I'm about to tell you. And I can hear him now before I've even said it to you. I still hear his voice because I listened to that audio so many times and what he taught me resonated so many times. But I'm telling you, in the heat of the moment, sometimes it's hard to recall what we already know. That's why we got to train constantly when we're not in the heat of the battle. We got to do these same things so that when we're in the heat of the battle, it just happens automatic. So what I heard him say to me that day when I was asking, he said, never delegate methods, only results. And I told you at the beginning, the subtitle of this chapter is delegate results, not methods. That's where I got that little tagline from. Dr. Covey says, never delegate methods, only results. All I was doing that day was delegating method after method after method after method, meaning I was telling her what to do, when to do it, how to do it, method, 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 method. And it wasn't working because things were happening fast. Now, if you're going to delegate results, you need to begin with the end in mind, as he says in habit 2, but you need to prepare the person. But I didn't have to prepare her for this. She knew how to paddle. That's all she needed to know how to do. For me to delegate results, all she had to do was to know how to paddle. If she didn't know how to paddle, I need to teach her how to paddle. But she knew that. So when I'm talking to you about your team, if you're going to delegate results, the team has to know how to do the methods. They have to have the competency to carry out the mission. But how they do it is up to them. You just got to make sure they're trained and qualified on all the methods. But then you delegate results. And so as soon as I was able to recall that, I knew it. And I said, let me validate it. I said to myself, let me validate it. So instantly, as soon as I was able to recall it, I said, hey, Rhea, you see that big rock over on the left? It's kind of smoother over there. Actually, in this river, it was not smooth anywhere. But over on the left by this particular rock, it was a little bit smoother. And I said, you see that smoother spot on the rock over by on the left? He's like, yeah, I see it. I was like, let's go there. That was all I said. I didn't give all these directions I had been given. I knew where I wanted to go. And all I did really was share that information. I delegated results. Let's go there. Made sure she knew where there was. And like I said, she already knew how to paddle. And I'm telling you, it was like that kayak was hooked to a steel cable going straight over there. We went straight over there. It was like so simple. What happened, though, is she knew where I wanted to go. I was doing what I needed to do to get us there. And then she could instantly start doing what she felt like she needed to do to get us there. And it just worked perfect because she was doing the exact right thing. And so was I. Because the whole time, no one was telling me what to do. I was just doing what I needed to do to try to accomplish the mission or deliver the result I was trying to achieve, which was go to a certain spot. As soon as I just started sharing that information only with her, that's the way the rest of the trip was like that. It was awesome. The second half was awesome. The first half, I wanted to get out of the boat. And I literally said, hey, let's pull over and let me out of the boat. She's like, why do you want to get out of the boat? I'm like, I'm trying to stay married. And staying in the boat is I don't think that's the best thing for me. But she didn't want me to get out of the boat. And we continued on. And eventually, I come up with that answer. When we got to that class 3 rapid, by the way, at the end, I told her exactly where I wanted to go to line us up. She helped me get there. we basically held our paddles up out of the water and we tried to just bob through there like we were a log going down the river. And it was just smooth. I mean, it was amazing. But I'm sure it wouldn't have been that way if I had never figured out to delegate results and not methods. But see, I had to know that first before I could do it. So that's one reason I'm teaching it to you in this chapter. Delegation 101 right here. Delegating what to do makes you responsible. Delegating what to accomplish allows others to become responsible. And that's what you want. You don't want, as a leader, you don't want to be constantly responsible for every little thing that's happening. Yes, 100% overall, you're going to always be responsible. But that didn't mean that you can't lead, motivate, and inspire others to also be responsible. If you got 10 people on your team, you're the only one responsible, feeling responsible, it's going to be a rough week. If you got 10 members on your team and they feel responsible and you feel responsible, get out of the way. You guys are going to make a bunch of good things happen. So high impact delegation empowers individuals and teams to thrive and grow. High impact delegation is about growth and development, not authority. See, low impact leaders, they do something that Dr. Covey calls go for delegation. You know, go for this, go for that. Low impact leaders, even lean leaders, lean consultants, they get in there and they just direct everybody what to do. Method, 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 method. They just constantly directing what to do. And that's authority. There's no growth and development. So what I want to teach you the rest of this episode, and this actually comes from, I got a chapter about this in my book, 10 Values of High Impact Leaders. Haven't ever done a series on that on my podcast yet, but that's a really great book. A lot of people who read that book think that's my best book. It's not in the Blue Collar Leadership series, but it was actually the second book I wrote. I've got 14 books. That was number two, 10 Values of High Impact Leaders. And the value of delegation is one of those values. So what I'm about to teach you and what I put in chapter 22 in Blue Collar Kaizen is actually an excerpt from the ten values of high impact leaders, the five levels of high impact delegation. That's what I want to teach you. Level one is wait for directions. It's the lowest level of delegation where I don't do nothing until you tell me. And a lot of people, that's the way they are at work every day. They don't do anything until the boss tells them. And it's the boss's fault, not their fault. The boss has never taught them these five levels of delegation. The boss has never, in most organizations, has not grown and developed the people. They don't teach them leadership. They don't teach them all these principles about why they should take responsibility, how to embrace change, how to lead themselves well. And they don't have a leader who's actually leading. Most of the time, they have a manager who's managing people. These first two levels I'm going to talk to you about, managers of people, this is where they live. They live with level one and level two delegation. So level one is wait for directions. I don't do anything until you tell me as a boss. You're the boss. I don't do anything until you tell me. There's no growth, no respect, no responsibility. I'm not growing in any way. You're not respecting me and my abilities to grow or to think. And I don't have responsibility. You do. A low impact leader simply tells the person or team what to do. The leader may not even be aware when the task is finished. And either way, when I'm finished, I just wait for directions from the leader. I don't even come find you and let you know I'm done. You may be in another room or another building, and I finished, and I'm just waiting on you because that's the way it works. A couple of times, maybe I've come try to find you and say, hey, I'm done, and you were in the middle of something, and you just seemed irritated with me because I was bothering you. So I done learned. You got me trained. I just sit around and wait. When I finish, I'm on break until you come around and tell me what to do next. That's the lowest level of delegation, but that a lot of people, a lot of leaders, some of the leaders, they think that's what delegation is. Just telling somebody what to do, the lowest level. Level two is ask what's next. There's no growth. There's still no growth. There's still no respect. And there's only a very tiny amount of responsibility that I have. The leader tells the person or team to ask them what's next once they completed or delegated a task. That's a slight improvement for the leader. Might get a little bit more done if whenever I'm delegating to people, if I would make sure when they finish, come let me know so I can tell you something else to do. And there's a lot of managers of people, they lead at that level of delegation, level two. But managers of people, low impact leaders, they're usually at one of those two levels. That's usually how they operate. Now they wish they could operate in the other three levels, but they don't even understand them. They don't understand they are responsible for learning these, then teaching their team these five levels so that they can move around through these levels as they need to. Something magical happens at level three, though. See, level one and level two, as a leader, you're responsible. You're responsible for what happens next. When I'm teaching about this on the stage, I talk about the monkey on your back. A lot of people talk about the monkey on their back to symbolize responsibility. So at level one, I've always got the monkey on my back. I tell you what to do. And the responsibility I'm talking about is to figure out what you do next. So at level one, you wait for directions. I've always got the responsibility, the monkey on my back, to figure out what you're going to do next. Level two, I say, at least ask me when you're done what you're going to do next. So what happens then is that monkey splits into two. 99% of the monkey is still on my back. All the responsibility is still on my back for figuring out what you're going to do next. But you got a little tiny monkey, 1% responsibility on your back. And that is, you got to come find me and ask me what to do next. Level one, you don't even have to do that. Level two, at least you have to come find me and ask me what to do next. And then I'll tell you what to do next. Level three, though, something happens. The monkey stays on the person's back who has to do the work or carry out the mission. If you're the leader and you're delegating to me at level three, when I finish my task, level three is called recommend a course of action. So when I finish doing what you told me to do, I've got to recommend a course of action. So the monkey's on my back now. Instead of being on the leader's back, formal authority leader's back, figuring out what everybody's got to do next, now you're delegating to level three. Now the monkey's on my back. I got to start thinking. That's the magic thing that happened at level three, is all of a sudden I've got to start thinking. I've got to start thinking more about the big picture. So growth happens. Respect is mutual. You're respecting me and allowing me to recommend what's next. I'm respecting you as a leader, because you believe it in me. You're seeing me as a more important part of the operation. So responsibility is transferred. The moment you go to level three, responsibility is transferred to the person carrying out the mission. And like I said, everything changes at this level. Thinking is now a shared responsibility. The leader values the person or the team's experience, their opinions, and their decision-making ability. So when I come to you as a leader and recommend what I should do next, you know a whole lot of stuff that I don't know about that's going on in the organization or with other departments or with other people. You know the bigger picture than me. So I may recommend something and you think, I don't think that's what you need to do. But you don't say that. You don't say that. And you also definitely don't say, no, I don't think that's what you should do. How about doing this instead? The moment you do that, you went right back to level one, giving me directions. You took the monkey from me and put it on your back and told me what to do. But as a high impact leader, you want me to keep the monkey on my back. So I'm going to bring the monkey to you and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about what I'm going to do next, that responsibility. But I ain't going to hand it to you. And you definitely shouldn't take it from me. Because you want me to think for myself. You want me to be more responsible. So if I say something you don't like, you ask me a question. You don't give me a direction. Remember, leading with questions. It's what I've talked about the last two chapters. We'll talk about it this chapter and the next two chapters. That's what you do. You ask me some questions. Try to steer me where you think you might want me to go. You may say, well, did you think about how this is going to impact Joe? You may say, actually, I did think about it. I thought it's probably going to have a big impact on Joe. So I went and talked to him. So me and Joe come up with this idea together. And once you know that answer, you say, okay, that sounds good. Go ahead and make it happen. Or I may say, you know what? I didn't even think about Joe. I didn't think about it. And you may say, well, could this impact Joe? And then I say, yeah, it could. I didn't think about it. Let me get back with you. Let me go talk to him and then let me come back. I'm still at level 3. So I still got the monkey. So you start to see how that works. Level 4 is an even higher level. Level 4 is do it and report immediately. That means I trust you. I'm delegating to you and I trust you to do what's next. But I'm telling you, every step of the way, when you finish, come tell me what you did and then go do the next thing. And the reason is we can talk about it, or maybe somebody might be calling me. Could be an outside salesperson wanting to know what's going on. Could be my boss wants to know what's going on, and I trust you. I just need to know what's going on so when people are asking me about it, I can tell them. Or maybe it's super important, and I just want to know what's going on, but I don't want to take that responsibility. I don't want to take the monkey back from you, but I want you to keep me in the loop constantly. So additional but limited responsibility is transferred at level 4. The leader has more trust and confidence in the person or team and allows them to accept the responsibility of choosing and then completing the next task without support. Then they notify the leader of what has been done before taking the next additional action. Just wanted to kind of put that in a nutshell for you. And then we move up to level 5. Level 5 is own it and report routinely. Full responsibility has been transferred. At this level, the person or team reports to the leader at predetermined intervals, such as the end of a project, a specific number of days, weeks, months, or if it's full stewardship delegation, it's whenever the person or team feels it's necessary. The leader trusts the person or team completely. So when I was a lean consultant, I always put myself at 3, 4, or 5 because a lot of the people who brought me in to consult, they didn't know anything about these 5 levels of high impact delegation. But I did. And so I would recommend when I thought I should be recommending. I would do things and report immediately whenever I thought I should report immediately. And then sometimes I decided what routinely meant. Like when I was doing a Kaizen event, sometimes in some places, I would kind of do a report out at the end of the day for the top leader, even though they didn't ask me to. I just felt like I should. Sometimes we just report out at the end of the week. Sometimes I was working in companies and I was there every week for months and months and months. So I would only talk to the leader when I needed to talk to the leader. They had full confidence. We were making things happen. But as a leader of people, the people need to be trained through these 5 levels. The leader needs to know these 5 levels. The leader is the one needs to do the training so that everybody understands. Because you may be on my team and you may be at level 5. Then all of a sudden, a special project comes in. And see, a lot of leaders, they make a mistake. They want to take over a special project because it's important. They say, tell the team, hey, this is important. And the team knows that I know how to do their job too. So I say, hey, this one's important. A lot of visibility. I'm going to go ahead and take this one. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. When you do that, you just yank the rug out from under your team. You said something's important. I'm going to do it, which means I don't trust you to do it, or either I won't credit for doing it or the recognition for doing it or all the whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Don't do it. Put them at level 3. Move them down from level 5. They may be carrying on their work every day without really talking to you, except routinely once a week, once a month, whatever. But this special project, tell them, if they understand this, you understand this, these 5 levels of delegation, high impact delegation, you just simply say, hey, I need you at level 3 on this project. We need to talk about it as you go through it. I don't want to take it from you, but I need to know about it. There's going to be a lot of people that want to know what's going on. Then everybody's happy. They're happy. They feel trusted. They feel respected. You're happy. They're making it happen. You can carry on doing whatever it is you really need to be doing instead of trying to take all the glory for this special project. Or you could tell them, put them at level 4. Do it and report immediately. I didn't know every step of the way. And I might have misspoke a minute ago. When level 3, put them at level 3, meaning they're going to recommend every step of the way. So they're still going to own it, but they're going to come talk to you about it so you can ask any questions you need or provide any input they may need, that sort of stuff. Learn how to use these to unleash your team's potential. It's powerful. So I'm going to leave you with a quote by Jim Collins. This is not Jimmy Collins that you often hear me talk about at Chick-fil-A. This is Jim Collins. He wrote a book that a lot of people are familiar with called Good to Great quite a while back. But that's who this quote comes from. Jim says, in a culture of discipline, people do not have jobs, they have responsibilities. In a culture of discipline, people do not have jobs, they have responsibilities. These 5 levels of high impact delegation I just taught you, they're there, and I'm teaching them to you to help you facilitate a culture of discipline where people don't have jobs, they have responsibility. As a leader, and especially a lean leader, your job's going to get a whole lot easier. So remember, go check out 10 Values of High Impact Leaders. You can dig deeper into these 5 levels of delegation. Also, it's on audio. It's in an ebook. Most all of my books are on audio and ebooks. So go check that out. Hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Talk to you next time.
Make it happen or someone else will. It might as well be you. Are you serious about taking your career and your life to the next level and beyond? Check out Max Story's Blue Collar Leadership Series books and others, now available on audio, along with paperback and ebooks at Amazon, iTunes, and Audible. Please visit bluecollarleadership.com to learn about Max books, programs, special offers, certifications, and more. Thank you for listening to the Blue Collar Leadership Podcast.